Before we begin, I spoke to Rabbi Rasner yesterday, and he said that he will be starting up his shiur again, which will be available at projectsinai.org. It's projectsinai.org. I checked this morning. It was not there today. I assume they're still working out some technical details, and if you check back frequently, I'm sure one of these days it is going to be there. I will keep you posted as soon as I actually find it there. You can email him at shalomrasner@gmail.com. Okay, we are holding right now on Daf Nun Hey Amud Aleph. On the top of the page, we're at the Mishnah. Hey Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada. So the Mishnah is going to tell us four eduyos that were said by Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada. Obviously, this is a Mishnah in Edios. It's mentioned over here because it involves a takana that involves Tikkun HaOlam, that relates to Tikkun HaOlam, which is seems to be the theme of all the Mishnayos that we've been learning. But there are going to be four specific eduyos that Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada had. Number one, Alacharesha Sheisia Avia She Yotza Beget. That if you have a girl who's deaf, whose father married her off, gave her over for Kiddushin, that she's able to get divorced by being Mekabel, her own get. Now, obviously, if Chareshes was Mekabel Kiddushin on her own, she can also be Yotza Beget. There's no reason that Hisia Aviha should be worse. Adarabah, when it's Hisia Aviha, she is the Kiddushin is stronger. When she's Mekabel is her own Kiddushin, so she's a Chareshes, she doesn't have Das, it would only be a Kiddushin Drabanon. When her father was Mekabel Kiddushin on her behalf, it's a full-fledged Kiddushin Daraisa. Right, for the Ketana, because her father was Mekabel the Kedushin for her. So the point is, as Rashi points out, the Chiddush over here is that even though she was she had a full-fledged Kedushin, and she's a Charesha, so she doesn't really have Das, nevertheless, she can still be Mekabel HaSeget. Why can she be Mekabel HaSeget if she doesn't have Das? So Rashi writes, V'yafak avdelespa daita de'isha, V'yafak avdelespa daita de'isha ki nafka bal korchag nafka, V'ein misratza begerishin, V'afilu achi nafka, hilkach lo bin and daita. We know that for a woman to get divorced, you don't need Das. She doesn't need Das, rather, in order to get divorced. How do we know that? Because technically, on a Daraisa level, before the Cherem Rabbeinu Gershom, the halacha was that you're allowed to be Megarish and Isha, or that you're able to be Megarish and Isha, Bal Karcha. So you give an Isha a get against her will, she's going to be Megureshes. So you see that you don't require her Das in order for the Gershon to work. So Chareshes should be no different. Now, what Rashi doesn't mention over here, but perhaps bears mentioning, is that it's not totally true that you don't need that the woman doesn't need any das whatsoever. The Gemara tells us that if she's a shota, she cannot be mekabel aseget because the halacha is that it has to be someone who you are v'sholcha, who when you send her out she's not chazaras. She doesn't. It's not that she doesn't understand what divorce is. If she doesn't even understand what divorce means, and when you send her out of the house, she keeps on coming back and she keeps on revisiting. So then you have a woman who doesn't even understand that what divorce is. Such a woman can't be divorced. It's only when you have a woman who v'sholcha, when you send her out and you give her a get, even if she doesn't have the das to make a kinyan or the das of a normal person, but she understands that she's not supposed to come back to the husband's house anymore, that minimal amount of das you do require. But anyway, that was chiddush number one, that if she's the chareshes whose father married her off b'kiddushin, she can receive her own get. Chiddush number two, v'al ketana bas yisrael shenisis l'koim shalcheles p'truma. If you have a katana who's a bas yisrael who's married to a kohen, she's allowed to eat truma, even though we're talking about a katana over here whose father did not marry her off. We're talking about a katana that's a yisoma, who if she's a katana and she's mekudashas, it must have been that her mother and brother married her off. In which case, it's only a kiddushin midrabanan. It's not a kiddushin daraisa. Nevertheless, she can eat truma. What kind of truma? Says Rashi, shalchelz b'truma drabanan. Right? She can eat truma midrabanan because again, her kiddushin is only a kiddushin midrabanan, but she's allowed to eat truma midrabanan. The imesa, meaning there's no major chiddush in that line either. Obviously, if she has kiddushin drabanan, it would make sense that she should be allowed to eat truma midrabanan. But the point is, we don't make any gzeros of truma drabanan not to truma daraisa. That if you allow her to eat truma drabanan, she might come to eat truma daraisa. So there are no such gzeros. So she's allowed to eat truma drabanan. The imesa, and if she dies, Bala Yarsha, her husband is going to yarshin her, even though the kiddushin was only kiddushin drabanan. If you look at Tosfos al Ketana Bas Yisrael, b'truma drabanan ayri l'man diyamar ein koach biyad chacham lakar dov min ha-Torah. Right? If you assume the chacham don't have the ability to be okar dov min ha-Torah, we must be talking about Truma Darabanan. If she's only married Midrabanan, it doesn't make sense that she should be able to eat Truma Daraisa unless you hold the Chum of the ability to be Okar Davmina Torah. Kedamrin be Reisha Isha Rabba, the Mefarish Valchalos begino Truma be Truma Darabanan. Right? That the Gemara explains in Yivamis that clearly when we say that Alchalos begino Truma, that she eats on his account Truma, it means Truma Darabanan. Fractosos vim Tomar. Why can't we say that she's able to eat Truma Da'oraisa if the assumption might be that a katan ochel nevelos ain bezim mitzuvah nafrisho? When a child is eating nevelos, when a child is eating something not kosher, you have no responsibility to stop them from doing so. You're not allowed to feed them something non-kosher, right? That's an issue of sfiya biyadayim, of los achilim. You're certainly not allowed to feed them something not kosher. If you're the parent, you have a mitzvah of chinuch on them, but if Katan is eating the velos, you're not mitzvah lafrisho. So why is this woman any different? The woman is a ketana. She's not bas mitzvah yet. She's married to a kohen and she's eating truma d'oraisa. So who's going to say that she's not allowed to do? Who has to stop her? She's a katan ochel nevelos. So it says Tosos Yeshlomer the katan ochel nevelos abayi per cherish velov shita I beis mitzvah lafrisho alav. It says it's not so pashut that ain beis mitzvah lafrisho. It's a shaila whether beizim mitzvah nafrisho or ain beizim mitzvah nafrisho, and we leave it as a shaila. We don't answer the shaila. So if that's the case, that's why we don't want to say that it's totally mutter because she's ochel nevelos. Just because she's ochel nevelos doesn't mean it's mutter. Could be that beizim is mitzvah nafrisho. Answer number two: v'od to ochelos begino mashma da'afilu ma'achilu bi'adayim. When we say that the ketanu is married to a kohen with a kiddushin drabanan is allowed to eat truma on his account, it implies that he's even allowed to feed her truma. Now, as we said, even if you hold that a katan ochel nevelos ain bezin mitzuvah nafrisho, that doesn't mean bezin is allowed to feed a katan nevelos. You're not allowed to give a katan food that's not kosher. So the kohen would certainly not be allowed to feed his wife truma d'oraisa. And over here, we're talking about feeding the wife. We're not talking about we're not talking about her eating it on her own. Va'od, and finally, also, the implication is that it's not only when she's a katana that she's allowed to eat truma. The implication is she's going to be allowed to continue eating truma even when she becomes a gedola, even prior to doing a real da'oraisa ma'isa kiddushin with him, doing a bia with him, which would cement the kiddushin on a da'oraisa level. So the implication is that she's not only going to be a katan ochel nevelos, even when she's a gedola, when she's already past bas mitzvah, she's still going to be allowed to eat the truma d'rabanan. Why? Because she has a kiddushin d'rabanan. But truma d'oraisa, no, she's not going to be allowed to eat because she only has a kiddushin d'rabanan. And you can't say that she's a katan ochel nevelos because she's a gadol already. And says Tosos, why is it in fact that we were not gozer truma d'rabanan atu truma d'oraisa? Because most of the time we're dealing with a girl who is mekudeshes as a katana. So pashas, we're dealing with a katana. The last answer, notwithstanding, that the halacha carries through even after she becomes a gadola, before she has kiddushin, that she's still allowed to eat the truma. But still, primarily we're dealing with a girl who's a katana. So dealing with a girl who's a katana, it doesn't make as much sense to make a gezeira that she shouldn't be allowed to eat truma d'rabanan unless she eat truma d'oraisa. Because at the end of the day, even if she eats truma d'oraisa, she's not really chayv in mitzvos. So even if she were to eat truma d'oraisa, it wouldn't be as terrible. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Now, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for her. Now, if the husband feeds her the truma d'oraisa, though, it might be an issur d'oraisa for him. Because the issur of sfiya b'yadayim, the Gemara learns out from a pasuk of los achilim. So that could very well be an issur d'oraisa of sfiya b'yadayim. But okay, the Tosafot assumes that it wouldn't be as bad because the avera that results is only an avera midrabanan, at least from her perspective. Well, not even an avera midrabanan, it's only an avera being done by a katana, which clearly isn't as bad. Okay, says the Mishnah, a third takana. Takana number three, or Eidus number three, rather. V'alamarish ha'gazel shebanu bebira, she'itol stavim b'nei takanas ha'shavim. Eidus number three is that if you steal a beam and then you build it into a building, you don't have to rip apart the whole building to find that beam and return the beam, even though generally, if the item that you stole is still around and still in your possession, you have to give that item back. You don't just pay money back. But if you already built it into something, you don't have to rip it apart. You can just give back the money, the value of it. And the reason for that is, mipnei takanas hashavim. We want to make it easier for people to do tshuva. If someone wants to do tshuva, and what's standing in their way is that they're going to have to rip their whole house down if they really want to do tshuva properly, so they're less likely to do tshuva. So we try to pave the path for the balei tshuva as much as possible. Now, obviously, how widely applied this should be requires a lot of thought and a lot of expertise in terms of a beam is an easy one, right? The Mishnah says, but in terms of what kulas we should have for balei tshuva and when there should be a concern that the balei tshuva will just assume this is always the halacha and that it's not just a special kula for takanas hashavim, so it requires a great deal of expertise and thought. Valchatas the fourth halacha, valchatas hagzula shelo noda l'rabim sheimich aperes mepnei tikun hamizbeach. If a carbon chatas was stolen and no one knew that it was stolen, or at least a lot of people did not know that it was stolen, so it still serves as a kapara, and you don't have to bring another carbon in its stead, it serves as a kapara, and the reason for this is because of tikkun hamizbeach. The Gemara will explain exactly what the tikkun hamizbeach is, and what the halacha really should have been. Meaning our Mishnah says, if everyone knew about it, apparently it wouldn't have been mechaper. It's only because people don't know about it that it's mechaper, and the reason is tikkun hamizbeach. So we'll explain exactly what the tikkun hamizbeach is when we get there. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, me'edusa Rabbi Yochanan ben Gurgada, from the edus Rabbi Yochanan ben Gurgada, we can derive the following. Amar le'edim, ru'u get zesh ani nosin lav. A guy says to Edim, look, I wrote a get over here, I'm about to give this get to my wife. V'chazava Amar la, and then he goes to his wife and he says to her, Kansi shtarchov zu and shtarchov ze. Here, take this shtarchov, and he doesn't tell her to get. He says, "Oh, look, here's a shtarchov that I'm giving you." Harezu mugrashas, and she made a kinyan on it, so she's mugrashas. She's divorced, even though at the time of the get, she had no idea that she was receiving a get. Now, how do we get that from our Mishnah? Where do we see this halacha from our Mishnah? Milo amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Gurgada lo binandaita. Hachanami lo binandaita. Rabbi Yochanan ben Gurgada is the one that said that a chareshes could be mekabelas a get. Why can a chareshes be mekabelas a get? She doesn't have das. You see, you don't need das. So it doesn't only mean that you don't need a certain mental capacity. It might mean that even if you have the mental capacity, you just are being left in the dark. That's also a lack of das. So why should there be any difference? So it's the same exact halacha, right? So if the woman is just not told what she's receiving, she's megureshes as well. Now the Ritva points out that if he didn't say anything to Edim nor to her, then she's not megureshes. Meaning if he never told Edim, it was important that he first said to Edim, Ru'u get zesh ani nosin la. Take a look at this get. And the Ritva's raya that you have to first go to the Edim, aside from the fact that the Gemara says it, is the Gemara in Kiddushin Davav, where the Gemara talks about asukim ba'oso inyan, that if they happen to be talking about inyane kiddushin, and then he gives her something as a kiddushin, right? So or inyane gittin, and then he gives her a get, so then you don't need an amira of harea mukadeshes or harea mugureshes, because asukim ba'oso inyan replaces the amira. But that implies that if there were not asukim ba'oso inyan, an amira would in fact be required. That asukim ba'oso inyan, at least and minimally, asukim ba'oso inyan replaces an Amira, meaning Amira should be required. So over here in our Gemara, you do require an Amira, it's just the Amira goes to the Edim first. But if you don't say anything to anybody, it certainly wouldn't be good. There is a discussion in the Rishonim over here, whether if it's Asukim Bosu Inyan, and then you say Kansi Shtar Chov Zeh, meaning you don't say anything to Edim, you are Asukim Bosu Inyan, does that replace a Beferisha Amira to Edim that Reza Giteich? Meaning, we know when Asukim Bosu Inyan, and then you don't say anything to her. We know that the halacha is that that's good enough, right? That you don't say that would be fine. But if you tell her the opposite, if you're Asukim Bosu Inyan and then you tell her the opposite, you tell her Kansi Shtar Chov Zeh, that might be worse because you're telling her that she's not being megureshes with this document that you're giving over to her. So that's machlokas rishonim on our sugya in that case. If you're asukim bosu inyan and then you say kansi shtar chov zeh, but you never said beferish to anybody, including edim, that in fact you were giving a get. But anyway, so the Gemara is trying to say, Rav is trying to say that we derive this halacha from Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada, that you don't need the woman's das, and therefore she could think it's a shtar chov, and it's still fine, she would still be divorced with it. So says Gemara Pshita, of course, that's the Mishnah said, you don't need das. So of course, this is just an application of the halacha that the woman doesn't require das. So says Gemara, no, Mao de Tema, Kivin Damar Kansi shtar chov ze, Bitule Batle, No, I might have thought that if he originally told the Edom, look, this is a get, then when he goes to her and he says, look, I'm giving you a shtar chov, I might have thought that by saying that he's being mevatel his get, he's saying that I don't want this to serve as a get, he's having second thoughts, and he's backing out on having it serve as a get. So kamash mlon, the chiddush is that no, we don't assume he's backing out on a get, because if he really wanted to back out on it, if he really didn't want it to count as a get, he would have gone to the original Edom who he told that it is a get, and then clarified with them that, look, I don't want this to be a get anymore, I am being mevatel my get. From the fact that he did not go back to the original Edom, he only told her that it's a shtar chov, but nothing to the original Edom, that's a raya that he wasn't backing out on it. Why was he playing games, though? Why did he have to say, here's a shtar chov? So says the Gemara, it's because he didn't want to be confrontational. He was embarrassed to tell her that it's a get, because it's going to start a whole fight. Why? You're divorcing me? Why are you divorcing me? What are you doing? It would start a whole fight. So if he tells her it's a shtar chov, he could give it to her, run away, and by the time she reads it and figures it out, he won't be there anymore. So it's all to save himself a little bit of embarrassment that he wouldn't have to deal with. Now, Tosus later in the Masechta, and Daf Ayin Ches, Dibra Maskaleno Get, explains that obviously, although she doesn't need to know at the Shas Gerishin, at the time that she receives it, that it's a get, she certainly needs to know afterwards. Because as we said before, by a Shota, you can't divorce a Shota because she's Mishalcha V'Chazeres. Because when you send her away, she's still going to come back. She's not going to realize she's divorced. She's not going to realize what it means to be divorced and that she's not supposed to stay with her husband anymore. And that's a requirement in any get, that she know to stay away, that she know that Shiluach means Shiluach and she shouldn't come back. So if a woman doesn't realize, never realizes, she can't read Hebrew, she never realizes that what she received is a get, so she's Mishalcha V'Chazeres also, Tosus points out. That's no different than a Shota, that's Mishalcha V'Chazeres. So I mean, one might have thought to distinguish that by a Shota, Mishalcha V'Chazeres is an issue of, she doesn't even have the das to understand what Gerushin is about, whereas this woman has the das to understand what Gerushin is about, she just doesn't know that she's divorced, but Tosus says, no, das is not the issue. Right? A Chareshes can receive a get, das isn't the issue. The issue is, you actually need to be Mishalcha V'Einu Chazeres. She needs to be someone who does not return. Val Ketana Bas Yisrael, the Mishnah went on to say, if you have a Ketana Bas Yisrael who's married to a Kohen with a Kiddushin to Rabbanan, she's allowed to eat Truma Midrabbanan. So says the Gemara, V'ilu Chareshes Lo Achla. Sounds like if she was a Chareshes, she would not be allowed to eat Truma. Let's say it was a Chareshes whose father did not marry her off, so she doesn't have Kiddushin D'Oraisa. She got married herself, so she only has Kiddushin D'Rabbanan, right? So then she has Kiddushin D'Rabbanan to a Kohen. So it sounds like she would not be allowed to eat Truma. Because if she were allowed to eat Truma, why would we change right in the middle of the Mishnah from the first case talking about a Chareshes and switch it to a Ketana? If a Ketana and Chareshes really had the same din, so we should have had the second case talk about a Chareshes as well, for consistency's sake. And we would have known to apply it to a Ketana. From the fact that we pull a switch and all of a sudden we start talking about a Ketana, that implies that a Chareshes would not be allowed to eat Truma. Even Truma Drabban, my time, why? Because we're afraid that if a Chareshes would eat Truma Drabban, that a Chareshes, that if she were married to a Kohen as a Chareshes, he would also feed her Truma. So Frakta Gemara Velechel, so what? Katan Ochel Nevelosu. It's only a Katan Ochel Nevelos. What's the problem if she eats Truma Drabanan anyway? It's Katan Ochel Nevelos. Says Gemara, Gzera Shemayachel Cherish Bepikachas. No, the concern is that if we allow a Pikeach to feed a Chareshes Truma, we're afraid we might allow a Kohen who's a Cherish to feed his wife who's a Pikachas, his wife who's a regular Bas Das, Truma as well. And that's the concern. If you look at Rashi, Gzera Shemayachel Cherish Kohen Kohen she'ein kinyano kinyan. A cheresh is a Kohen whose kinyanim aren't anything, but pikachas shemusaris ala iser. He'll feed a pikachas who actually is musar. Hilkoch gazer pikach b'chareshes mishum cheresh b'pikachas. So it's a gezera, even though the Gemara goes in the stage of pikach to chareshes, to cheresh to chareshes, to cheresh to pikachas, the gezera is not a double gezera. The gezera is we're afraid that if you allow a pikeach to feed a chareshes, you will then allow the reverse as well. It doesn't go with the middle stage. You're just going to allow the reverse as well. You're going to allow a cheresh to feed a pikachas. Aval gadol b'ketana lekel amigzer, but you don't have to worry about a gadol and a ketana, mishum katan b'gadola, that maybe if you allow a gadol, a male gadol, a kohen who's a gadol, to feed his wife who's a ketana, that maybe the kohen who's a katan will feed his wife who's a gadola. That you have nothing to worry about. The katan lasle nisu nafil midrabanan. Because there is no institution of nisu and even midrabanan for a katan. So there's no concern that a kohen who is a katan is going to feed his wife who is a gadola truma, because there's no such thing as him having a wife who is a gedola. So, frankly, Gemara v'lachol b'truma d'rabbanan, but it's only truma d'rabbanan. Why can't the cheresh, the chareshes eat truma d'rabbanan? So, gzeru shama asi lachuli b'truma d'oraisa, because we're afraid that you're then going to feed truma d'oraisa. So, it is sort of a double gzeru that we're afraid you're going to feed truma d'oraisa, and we're afraid you're going to do it in the reverse, that you can even do it when it's a cheresh kohen feeding a pikachas, a regular pikachas woman, truma d'oraisa. So that's the ultimate concern over here. Says the Gemara Vayter, Almar Shagazl Shabna'o. We also had a takana in the Mishnah that if you steal a beam and you build it into your house, you don't have to rip apart your entire house to return the beam. Now this takana sashavim, by the way, lahalacha, only applies to stealing items. But if you steal karka, if you steal land, the Ramah writes in Chosha Mishpat that there is no takana sashavim b'karka. Even if, let's say, you steal a piece of land and you build a skyscraper on it, you do have to knock down the skyscraper to return the piece of land. Takanas HaShavim was only made on stealing a beam or something like that. So Tan Rabbanan, Gazal Marishu B'na'o B'bira, if you steal a beam and you built it into a building, Beishamayom Mekakea Kol Abira Kula U'maksir Marish L'Bailav. Beishamay says, rip apart the building, find that beam, return that beam to its rightful owner. Beisilam remain lo elo demei marish bilvad. Beisil says no. You only return the value of the beam itself. Mishum takarnas hashavin because it's takarnas hashavin. So our mission obviously reflects the sheet of Beisil that we have such a thing called takarnas hashavin. Now the Gemara Maseches, notice the mission of the Brice over here used the term bira, a building. So it makes it sound like if you just build something small, you should have to rip it apart. It's only because it's a major, it's a hefsin meruba, you're building something big. But that's not the halacha. The halacha is not that it has to be something major. In fact, the Gemara Maseches Sukkah on Daf Lamed Aleph says that if you stole eitzim and you made schach out of that eitzim, meaning you used that wood that you stole as schach, it doesn't passel the sukkah mishum sukkah gzula. Why not? Because you own that schach now. You don't owe that schach to anybody. It's part of a building now. What you owe is money. Takanas hashavim. No one's going to require you to rip apart your sukkah to return that schach. Because of takanas hashavim, all you're going to have to do is return money. So you see, even by a sukkah, which by definition is a temporary structure, even that we would say takanas hashavim by. Right? That's clearly the implication. That there's no minimal amount of permanence that the structure has to have. You build something out of it, you don't have to rip apart what you built. That's just the takana. Now it happens to be the Torah writes in some Tafresh Lamed Zayin, what if a guy steals wood, builds it into a sukkah, and he refuses to pay? He doesn't want to pay. Right, he was told you have to pay, the wood is worth $100, you have to pay, and he refuses to pay. So the Torah writes, if he's in a rotz l'shalim, so then he's not yotzei the mitzvah of sukkah. Then it becomes that it is a sukkah gzula. Because if he's not interested in paying, he's not going to agree that he owes money, so then he taka does owe the beam. Right? The whole idea is it's a takanas hashavim, but if it doesn't work, if it doesn't encourage tshuva, and the guy's not willing to do the tshuva, then he, in fact, does not own the beam that is built into his house, or his sukkah, and then it's a sukkah gzula, and he's not going to be yotzei the mitzvah. That's a big chiddush. Beis Yosef disagrees. Beis Yosef is mochiach from Rashi, that no, even if you don't want to pay back, takanas hashavim says that when you steal a beam and you put it into your house, you no longer owe a beam. You owe money. Now, whether you want to pay that money or not pay that money, but the dion is on the money. It's not on the beam anymore. That's the takana. The takana is that's under your bailus now. The whole issue is a monetary issue, and you'll deal with that separately. Val chatos agzul, the Mishnah also said if a chatos was stolen and people did not, the rabbim did not know about it, the chatos is going to work for a kapara. So the Gemara is going to have a machlokas now in terms of what the halacha should have been on a daraisa level, meaning our Mishnah distinguishes between whether people knew or people didn't know. That's clearly not a distinction midaraisa. So our Gemara is going to try to figure out what is, it's going to have a machlokas, what is the din on a daraisa level? Amarula dvar Torah, they know the bein lo know the in the mechaperis. Ula says on a daraisa level, it doesn't matter whether people know or not, it's not going to be mechaper. The carbon should not work because it's a stolen carbon. My time, yeush kedi lo kani. A stolen carbon where all you had was that the bailam were miyayish from it is not enough for it to be called yours to use for your carbon, for your kapara. Umatam amru lo noda mechaperis. Why then did they come up with this kula that if it's lo noda, that if the rabbim didn't know about it, that it can serve as a kapara? Shlo yu kohanim at seven, because we didn't want the kohanim to be sad. What do you mean, didn't want the kohanim to be sad? So Rashi says, sha'achlu chulin shenishkutu ba'azara sha'asurun. We didn't want them to be sad that they have eaten chulin shenishkutu ba'azara, that this wasn't really a karban. And here they went ahead and they ate the chulin shenishkutu ba'azara. It's a little bit strange that Rashi focuses on sha'achlu. Why is it sha'achlu? Here was a chatas that was stolen. How about sheshachtu chulin ba'azara? Right, that they actually shachted the chulin bazara. Why is it dafka sha'achlu chulin shnishtu bazara? So shchita bazar ksheiros. Maybe that's it. But it could also be that specifically people do make mistakes and do yisurim b'shogeg all the time. But there is a concept that by yisurei achila afilu behemton shel tzadikim, that even behema of a tzadik is not going to be nichshel. Tosafot points out in a few places in Shas where the Gemara has this idea that by yisurei achila b'dafka, when it comes to something that's usher to eat, then even the behema of a tzaddik won't be nichshel. So it says something about a person if what they were nichshel in was not stam and iser, but what they were nichshel in was nisra achila. So it could be that there's a particular emphasis on achila over here that's going to make the kohanim sad. It's also curious, the lashon of the Gemara, that they're going to be at seven, that they're going to be sad, meaning there should have been other ways to say. How about just shaloyu that the kohanim shouldn't feel that they've eaten chulin shnishtu bazar? Why? What's the dafka lashon of sadness? So sharam tzon ba'alach. I saw quotes from the Zohar that the Zohar on the pasuk of Vayidom Aaron emphasizes the idea that for kohanim to do the avoda, it's important that they have a certain level of simcha of their lifnei Hashem. So it's important that they have a certain level of simcha. Being at seven can actually be a major problem when it comes to the avoda. But anyway, the ula's shita is clearly that on a daraisa level, this should not work. It's a stolen carbon. But the rabbanon said to ula, wait a second. It says mipnei tikun hamizbeach. It doesn't say that the kohanim are going to be sad that they ate chulin bazara. It says that the reason why it works is because of tikun hamizbeach. What does that have to do with tikun hamizbeach? So he said, no, even the kohanim at seven, nimtzah mizbeach batal. If the kohanim are sad, they're not going to bring as many karbanos, the mizbeach is going to be batal, they're going to be gun-shy, they're going to be hesitant to bring to do the avoda. So since they're going to be hesitant to do the avoda, it is a tikkun mizbeach that the kohanim should keep happy, that they should think that everything's going okay. So that's Ula's shita. Rav Yehuda Amar Dvar Torah Bein Noda Bein Lo Noda B'chaperis. Rav Yehuda says, no, whether people know about it, whether people don't know about it, on a daraisa level, it should work. My time, and why should the carbon work? It was stolen. Yeush kedi kani. No, it should work because yeush alone is enough to be machna. It's enough for a person to be kona something, and therefore it does belong to the bailum when he brings his carbon. It could serve as a kapara for him. There is an important tulsos over here on Amin Aleph, which we're not going to have time to get into today, about yeush and at what point something becomes a mitzvah babaver, does not become a mitzvah babaver, when does something transfer rishus? Okay, you can take a look. But anyway, says the Gemara, umatam amru nodei in the mechaperis, if the halacha happens to be like Rabbi Yehuda says, that on a daraisa level the carbon does work, why did the Rabban make a takana that it should not work? Shalo yamru mizbeach ochel gezeilos, that people shouldn't say that the mizbeach is eating stolen food. So that's why they said if the whole world knows about it, the whole world knows that it's stolen, so that's no good. Then we're going to make a takana that the carbon shouldn't work, that people shouldn't say about the mizbeach that it's eating stolen food. Frek tosfos, wait a second. So you bring a carbon, on a daraisa level the carbon worked. Now the Rabbanan are going to say, no, it didn't, bring another one? Isn't that chulin ba'azara? How can the Chacham make a takana to be oker davar min haTorah v'kum v'asei? The Rabbanan are going to tell you, go bring another karban. That's kum v'asei. That's actively going and bringing chulin la'azara. You already yotzei the karban. How can the Chacham have the power to tell you such a thing? So Tosus basically answers Zeina Chinami. Tosus on third line over there says V'yesh lomer d'dafka no de kodem zrika einem mechaperes av liachar zrika shekvar neschaper lo tzrichu lahaviacheres. That it's only if you knew about it before they did the zrika, before they actually achieved the kapara, then we say, okay, stop everything, stop this carbon, don't allow it to achieve a kapara, bring another carbon instead to achieve the kapara. But ein achinami, if the kapara already happened, then ein achinami, then you can't go ahead and bring another carbon. The Rabbanan don't have the authority to tell you to be okadav minator b'kum v'asei, to bring chulin la'azara. I saw Menachem Kagan last night in Mincha. He told me that there's a radvaz. I did not get a chance to look it up, see where it is. He said that there's a radvaz that holds that that you can be okadav. The Rabbanan do have the right to be okadav minator b'kum v'asei when it's a major tzorach, when it's a tzorach gadol. So maybe this would qualify as a tzorach gadol to be okadav minator b'kum v'asei. But anyway, Tosus clearly does not hold that way. Tosus clearly says that no, they cannot be okadav minator. Period. Says Mar Bishlam Alu. So we had a machlokas. On a daraisa level, does it work? It does not work. Bishlam alu'ula hainu d'ktani chatas el Rav Yehuda ma'yir yachatas hafilu olanami. According to Ula, I understand very well. On a daraisa level, it doesn't work. So I understand why specifically, and we specifically made an exception that it should work if people don't know about it, because we don't want the kohanim to be sad that they ate something that was chulin ba'azara. So I understand why we chose karban chatas, because kohanim actually eat from a karban chatas. You can't say karban ola because the whole thing gets burnt on the mizbeach. So that makes a lot of sense. El Rav Yehuda Meir Yechatas Afilu Olanami. But according to Rav Yehuda, that on a daraisa level, it's a totally acceptable karban, and it's only a takana that it should not be acceptable because it looks like the mizbeach is stealing. Well, it looks like the mizbeach is stealing whether it's a chatas or an ola. Why would the Mishnah specifically use karban chatas as the example? So it says Gemara Lomi Baya Kamar Lomi Baya Ola De Kalil Hi El Afilu Chatas Nami De Chela V'Damhu De Salg Lagavi Mizbeach V'Ida Kohanim Achli Afilu Hachi Gaz Shleim Mizbeach Ochel Gzelos. I might have thought that when it comes to a karban chatas, it doesn't look so bad that the mizbeach is eating gzelos, because what's the mizbeach eating already? The mizbeach is taking the chelev and the dam. That's nothing. The kohanim are getting the good part of it, so it doesn't look like the mizbeach is ochel gzelos. So kamash melon that even by a chatas, still we're concerned that it looks like that the mizbeach is eating gzelos. Rashi explains why when it's chelev and dam, mali gazal muat, mali gazal maruba. Why does it make a difference if it's a little bit or a lot that the mizbeach stole? So he said, no, it's not a difference in quantity that the Gemara is describing over here. It's a difference in quality. When you're dealing with dam is hefker. It's nishpach kamayim. It's something that people don't generally keep and hold on to from the animal. They get rid of it anyway. And chaylev is asur b'achila anyway for a human being. So it doesn't look like the mizbeach is eating gzela simply because what the mizbeach is, dam is also asur b'achila, because simply what the mizbeach is eating is not anything of any value to the owner. So that's why it doesn't look like it's eating gzela. Kamash mlan, still we make such a takana. Tnan al chatas agzulah shlo nodel ramshi mechaperes meitikin amizbeach. We said a chatas that was stolen that people didn't know about it, that it's mechaper because it's tikin amizbeach. Bishlam alu ula nichal Rav Yehuda ipchami vayle. So that makes sense to Ula that the tikin amizbeach is the fact that it is mechaper. But according to Rav Yehuda, the takana is that it's not mechaper when people know about it. The takana is reverse. So achi nami kamer. That's in fact what the Mishnah means to say. Lo nod mechaperes noda in a mechaperes. If people do know about it, it's not mechaper, and that's mipnei tikin amizbeach. If a person stole something, was makdish it, and then shechted it and sold it, he pays kefil, but he doesn't pay arba v'chamisha, because by the time he shechted it and sold it, he was already makdish it. If he just steals it, shechts it and sells it, obviously he pays arba v'chamisha. But if he's makdish it before shechting and selling, he doesn't pay arba v'chamisha. And we learned about this, that you get kares for shechting and for shechting it b'chutz, because what did you do? You took a hekdish and you shechted it b'chutz. So it was something that you were makdish already, and you're shechting it b'chutz. So you're chayiv kares for that. But if you hold that yeish kadi lo kani, that just the fact that the original owner gave up hope on retrieving it does not make it yours, so what do you mean you took hektish and you shakted bachutz? You didn't take hektish, you had no right to be maktish it. The hektish isn't really chal on the daraisa level. So what does that mean that you're chayiv kares? Meaning you shouldn't even be chayiv dalet vehei, Rashi points out, because you shouldn't even be putter from dalet vehei, because it doesn't really belong to hektish. But okay, with dine mamonis we could play around a little bit. But with kares, what do you mean? If you were never kona it, you had no right to be makdish it. How could you possibly be chayiv kares for shechting kachim bachutz if the hektish was invalid? So Amar Rav Shizvi, kares midvrayim. No, when we say kares, it means kares midrabanan. So achikah, the kares midvrayim iikah. What are you talking about? There's no such thing as kares midrabanan. Amlu Rava gav rabba milsa lo tachuku ala. When someone says, when a gav rabba says something, you can't laugh at it. Kares al yedei divrei and basalo. It means kares that comes about through a takana drabanan. Not that the kares is drabanan. Ukmur rabbanan birushus yechidil chayiv ala. The rabbanan put it in his rishus so that he can be chayiv kares on it. Meaning, it's hefker beis and hefker. That it's now considered his. And since it's considered his, he has the right to be makdish it. It's just the rabbanan made it considered his. That's within the authority of the rabbanan. The rabbanan can make something that's not yours, yours on a daraisa level. That they have the authority to do. So now he's going to be chayiv for real because he was makdish it. It's a valid hektish. When did the rabbanan make it his? From the time he originally stole it or from the time he was makdish it? So the mind after me, you know what difference does it make? Regarding the shearings of it and its children in the interim, who owns that? Does he own it, or does Hektish own it, or does the original owner own it? So what's the din? Probably it only becomes his from the time he makes it Hektish, and not before, because then he's a chote niskar. Then he gets a reward for doing his avera, because by doing the avera he was able to reap the benefits of the vlados and the gizos. Says the Mishnah, lo haya sikrikon b'Yehuda b'aruge melchava. The din of sikrikon, which we're about to learn in the Mishnah, did not exist while people were getting killed in melchama. Me'aruge melchama ve'elach, but from then on yesh b'sikrikon. The din of sikrikon did exist. Ketzad, what is this din of sikrikon? The halacha is as follows. Lakach mi sikrikon v'chazav lakach mi balabayis mecha batal. There used to be these people who, from the power of the government, these of the kuchavim or rotskin, who they would demand that you give them your fields, and they would demand that people sell their fields to them. So if you buy a field that belonged to your friend from the sikrikon, and then you went to your friend, to the original owner, the sale is an invalid sale. Mi balabais v'chazav lakach mi sikrikon mechol kayim. But if you bought it from the original owner first, and then you went to the sikrikon, then the sale is a valid sale. Lakach min ish v'chazav lakach min ish mechol batal. If you buy from a husband, let's say, his wife's property that he's in control of while they're married, and then you go to the woman and you buy it from her too, the sale is batal. Why is it batal? Because we assume the second person doesn't really want to sell it, they just feel pressured to do so because the first person accepted money for it and is willing to sell it to you. But if you first go to the woman and she agrees, and then you go to her husband, so that's going to work. Zum Mishnah Rishona, that was the original Takana. Bezen Shalachrein Amru, then the later Bezen came along and said, Halokech mi Sikrikon nosin lebailam revia. Whenever you buy from the Sikrikon, you got to give a quarter of the money to the original owner. E Masai Bizman Shein Biyadon Likach. That's if the Bailam themselves is unable to repurchase the field for themselves. Avliyesh Biyadon Likach Hein Kon Lekal Adam. But if they are interested and they have the ability to purchase the field for themselves, then they come first. They're given the right to do so. Rebbe Yoshev Bezen Venimnu Shem Shasa Bifnei Sikrikon Shem Asa Chodesh Kalakodim Likach. That Rebbe made a takana that anyone who any time the field has been in the hands of the Sikrikon for 12 months, whoever comes first can take it. It doesn't have to go back to the Bailam Rishonim. It's been long enough. He had enough of a chance. Anyone is allowed to come and buy it. Avon nos in the Bailam Revia. But when you do buy it, you do have to make sure to give the Bailam 25%. Okay, we have our work cut out for us tomorrow.